Good afternoon. It's great to be here. It's weird actually doing the service in Karawaci and then coming here, but it's cool to be here. For those of you who don't know, we're part of a missions team here. I'm leading the student missions project. They're right now playing Ultimate Frisbee, and I'm here with you guys. But so I get the privilege of being here, and they miss out. But it's great to be back. It's cool to be here and just reconnect with everyone. For those of you who don't know, I grew up in the States, but some people are confused my background, what I am. Actually, some people, actually when I came to Indonesia, they actually think I'm either from Copan or Papua, which is not true. Actually, this morning as well, one of the guys at the church there thought I was from Africa, which is also not true. I am actually from India. Well, my parents are from India. I was born in the States, but they're from India. To be here and just to spend time sharing God's word with you all. It's really a family reunion for me every time I come back here. Pastor Andrew and Nikki were two of the more pivotal people in my life. They were close friends. Pastor Andrew was one of my first disciples as well, so seeing and reconnecting with them as well. And then also Pastor Eric and Pastor John, just knowing them from freshman year, Tina as well. Just seeing them just grow and then leave and plant the church here. It's great to see everyone. And also, there's so many others that are here. So it's good to be back, and it's exciting to share God's word with you all. Can I ask you guys, can we just bow our heads again? I want to pray before I continue with the message. So let's pray together. The reason I want to pray again, even last night around like 2:30, I woke up, and I just felt like this is a spiritual battle. I really felt like a lot of just thoughts that weren't from God going through my mind. And I really felt confident that God wants today's message to be preached and for all of you to hear it. But I felt a lot of opposition. And so I just felt convicted that we needed to spend some time in prayer this afternoon. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here, to gather together, Lord, during this holiday season to worship and celebrate you. I thank you for every brother and sister that is here this afternoon to hear your voice. I pray that our hearts are tuned to really respond to you, that this won't be just another celebration we attend, another message that we hear, but I pray that every heart will be attuned to hearing your voice and allowing you to speak true to us and challenging us, allow us to live lives that are bold and radical for you. Father, I pray for your anointing upon me. Father, help me to communicate your word and minister to your people, to your sheep that you love so much this day. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. It's good again to be here. We completed a long journey. For those of you who never done it, from Detroit to the airport here is about 30 hours, including all the flights and all the layovers. And so we're barely hanging on. Last night we were dying. We died pretty much by the end of the day, and then we resurrected this morning. And so I'm here, and I'm doing well. But it's good to be here, and it's been great to hear all that God's been doing in your churches. Pastor Andrew, if you didn't know, Pastor Andrew's in Michigan right now. He was visiting family. He shared at our Ignite conference. And so he was sharing a lot about what God's been doing through your different church sites, how in this season it's been a go season for you all to go out and to share share your faith with people. And so we've been hearing that. We've been hearing about even May was Missions Month and how you had a lot going on, really focusing on missions and sharing the heart for missions with people around you. And then also right now, Pastor Eric and Pastor John have been preaching from the book of Acts, really sharing about just this need to reach the lost, to be able to share our faith so that people are experiencing and hearing the good news around you. And so that's been very encouraging to hear, and we're excited. We're excited because we're hearing about students being reached on the different campuses. We're even hearing about people reaching out in their workplaces and also different refugees. We're hearing there's refugees from different countries that are here. Even, I believe it was yesterday or Friday when there was people in our churches that were playing soccer with some of the refugees from Afghanistan. And so that's really exciting to hear what God's been doing and how God's been using this church to make an impact. But what I want to share about today is a little bit different than that. And it's not unrelated to missions. But the reason why I want to share this afternoon and this message is that for many of us, we hear messages like this. We come to an Ignite conference. We hear Pastor Andrew preaching from the book of Jonah. We come to Sunday celebration. We hear messages from the book of Acts. And we're excited. We're excited to get involved in missions. We're excited to go reach out to people. And then something ends up happening which kind of stunts our excitement. And what ends up happening that stunts our excitement is actually just life happens. Life just happens to all of us. And what I mean by that is, for many of us, we go through life and different challenges and struggles come up, and we face those different struggles. And so as soon as you go back to work or you go back to class on a Monday, you're excited to go reach out, and then you're reminded of how life is difficult. And then you know what you end up doing is you end up asking that question that all of us have asked at one time or another. God, why is this happening? God, why do I have to go back to work when I don't enjoy what I do? Why is it that I have to go back and take this class or these classes which just don't make any sense, and what's the point of it? Others of you are facing other things. Maybe you're facing things with family and you're wondering, God, why is my time with my family so difficult? Or why is my marriage not exactly going the way that I had planned? Or why is my relationship with my children, why has it been so difficult? And I feel like for many of us in this room, that those struggles end up stunting the passion that God has placed in our hearts for missions, for reaching out, for going and being a light. And so that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about that question, why. I want to talk about what it looks like when you ask a question, why. So have you ever wondered what God thinks about when you ask that question, why? Have you ever wondered when you go to God, whether it's in your prayer time or you're driving somewhere or you're in an encode and you're just thinking about God and you ask God, God, why does this have to happen? Have you wondered what God thinks about? What I want to do is I want to show this video that's from back in the States. And it's actually from a comedian named Louis C.K. He's actually a really bad comedian. I don't think he's that funny. But he created a TV show. A TV show that didn't last very long, so apparently he's not good at TV either. But this clip, I think, really does a good job of showing us what it looks like when people ask the question, why. So just to give you an intro, this TV show is Louis. He's playing a character of a father, and he's there having breakfast with his young daughter. And they start having a question, which ends up a long line of questions where the daughter asks the dad, why, what's going on. So let's watch this together before we continue on in the message.
Papa, can we play outside?
No.
Why?
Because it's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's too early.
Why?
The sun hasn't come up yet.
Why?
Because the sun comes up later.
Why?
Well, the earth goes around, and when it turns a certain amount, the sun shows on the horizon.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Why don't you know, Papa?
Because I didn't pay attention in school, okay? I didn't listen in class.
Why?
Because I was high all the time. I smoked too much pot.
Why?
I didn't think it would matter.
Why?
I just figured my life would come together on its own. But then I met your mom, and you came along. So now I work at the muffler shop.
Why?
Well, it's too late for me to pursue a career now, and since your mom has a job with benefits, I stay home and I take care of you, because what I make is pretty much just a joke.
Why?
Well, the service economy replaced manufacturing. There's no real jobs in America anymore.
Why?
We had good jobs for a while, but it's just because we were lucky and now we're unlucky.
Why?
It's just the way it goes.
Why?
Because God is dead and we're alone.
Okay.
It's sounds like you enjoyed that video. That video is both cute and slightly annoying. And I'm sure many of you have at some point been in that situation, or maybe you've been that situation. You've been that person asking that question over and over again. But that's kind of what it looks like. And if we're honest with ourselves this afternoon, that's not too different than what we're doing in our relationship with God. I'm sure if many of you are honest, as you reflect on what's going on in your life, you're asking God a lot of those why questions. God, why is this happening? And so have you ever wondered why you ask those why questions? And so as I was reflecting on this, I came up with a few reasons that I think many of us ask these why questions. One reason why we ask this is we have a desire to know how it works. We have a desire to know how it works. And so you want to understand, you have this desire for knowledge. And so you ask that question why, and you want to learn from that. And so you have the desire to develop and gain knowledge from what's going on. Second, is you desire to know how you fit in. A desire to know how you fit in. Something's going on and you ask why because you want to know what role you play or what you can do to be a part of what's happening there. Third is maybe you're unsatisfied with the answer or situation. Maybe the response that was given doesn't sit well with you. And at some point you just want to ask that question because you're sure there's something more to what's going on. Number four is you want to justify pain or circumstances you're going through. Some of you are asking why because it's so difficult and challenging. You want to know that there's a reason for what you're going through. You want to know that this pain or the circumstance you're dealing with actually has some purpose in it. And so therefore, you want to ask why because you want to know at least that something is coming from this so you could justify what you're going through. And lastly, maybe the reason why you ask why is because you don't trust the person who's answering. Maybe the person who's giving you an answer, you just don't have enough confidence that the answer that they're giving you is good enough. And so therefore, you want to keep asking why. Again, like I shared, if we're honest with ourselves, many of you are asking why. Either right now, in your current situation, you've done it in the past, and just being honest, in the world that we live in, the painful, challenging world that we live in, you will be asking that question, why? And so the question I want you to think about as we continue on in this message here this day is this. Do you know why you ask God why? Do you know why you ask God why? This is an important question for us to answer because I believe God has given our churches, the HMCC churches, a mission. And you know that mission is to go out and to transform lost people and to make disciples. And that is something we want to continue to be faithfully doing, whether it's here in Jakarta, in Tangerang, in Ann Arbor, or wherever else God calls us in the future. Even I'm sure many of you heard our church in Ann Arbor will be birthing another church in January in Detroit, in the city there in Michigan. And so this is the mission that God's given us, to be faithful to this. But every time we're excited, we're motivated, we're passionate, we want to go out and we want to share our faith, something happens that hinders that. And we need to know why that's happening. We need to understand how we can address that. And not only for us, there's many of you that are here and maybe you're visiting our church or maybe you've been checking out this church for a little while and you have yet to put your faith in Jesus Christ, but you're interested and you want to know more. And I'm sure confidently I could say that you've been asking those questions. And the reason why you're here is because you're asking that. You want to know why. If there's a God that is so loving, if there's a God that is so caring, if there is a God that is in control, why is all this happening? And so that's why you're here, and you want to hear the answer to that. And so that's the same question that in today's passage, the King Solomon responded to. So if you have your Bibles, if you can open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me give you a little bit of background about this book of the Bible. Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. Now, King Solomon is a man that literally had everything in the world that every person in the world today is pursuing after. He had power. He was the most powerful man in the world. He had wealth. He was the wealthiest person in the world. He had influence. He had wisdom. He had either love or he had a lot of women, one or both. Because if you didn't know, he was married with 300 wives and 700 concubines. So, and apparently he didn't have time, but he was busy. And so, but he had everything that the world is pursuing after. And yet, he wrote this book. And the reason why that is so important is because pretty much what this book summarizes life as, after Solomon investigates life, is that life is meaningless, life is vanity, life is chasing after the wind. That's his conclusion. After he gained everything that many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we're pursuing after, power, wealth, identity, influence. He had all of that. And yet after having all of that, he came to the conclusion that life and pursuing after the things of this world was meaningless. So that's why he wrote this book, Ecclesiastes, and he spends most of his time here just sharing about what he's learned about how life is meaningless or why life is meaningless. And we get to this point in chapter 3, verse 9, when he asked this question. And it's up here, it says, what gain has a worker from his toil? What gain has the worker from his toil? King Solomon is asking the same question that we're all asking. God, why? Why are we so busy? Why are we so consumed with work? Why are we so busy and consumed with our studies? Why are we going through all these things? King Solomon asked that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read about his response. And we're going to learn from what King Solomon had to say, because there's some good lessons in there. But the thing that you're going to realize by the end of the message is that King Solomon's response is not complete. And I want to share why and how it can be complete. And so that's what we're going to do as we investigate today's passage. So hopefully you have Ecclesiastes chapter 3 opened up. I'm going to read verses 9 to 15 for us. Verses 9 to 15. Let me get my water first because my voice is dry. I'm giving you a play-by-play of what's happening up here. Verses 9 to 15. It says here, what gain has a worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. The first point for today is called just busy bees with a question mark. Just busy bees with a question mark. What I want to kind of do is go through the passage and help explain a little bit about what King Solomon is talking about. I'm sure many of you, as you were listening to what I read, or you're reading up here on the screen, you have no idea what's going on. You're wondering what King Solomon is talking about. And honestly, the first several times that I read it, I was doing the same thing. What are you talking about, King Solomon? So I'm going to try and explain it to you guys briefly, and then talk about what lessons we can learn from it. The first thing that King Solomon asks is, he asks this question, what's the point? In verses 9 to 10, he's pretty much asking, what's the point? I've seen the toil. I've seen the labor that we go through. And so he asks that same question that we talked about. What's the point? Why is this all going on? And he's not just talking about toil and labor. He's talking about all the difficulty and challenges that people face in this life. He's asking a question, what's the point of all this? And so he's stuck, and he realized that men are stuck in this life. They're stuck in this life cycle of just being busy and toiling and wondering what's the point of all this. And so that's what King Solomon states next. And then verse 7, he drops his bomb, which is really exciting, but also very frustrating. He drops his bomb, which is God's promise. And what he says in God's promise is that God in his time will make all things beautiful, which is really exciting. Man, if you look at that, that is an exciting verse. That is something to hold on to. That is something that I would encourage you to memorize and whatnot. God will make everything beautiful in his time. But then he goes on to say that we're not guaranteed as men to know exactly when or how God's going to do it. Isn't that frustrating? What kind of God would do that? God, you promise to make everything beautiful, but I'm not going to tell you how or when. If anyone did that to you, you'd be frustrated. A significant other says, hey, I'm going to promise to make dinner, but you don't know when it's going to happen. You'd be pretty frustrated. Now, if God's saying, I'm going to make everything beautiful, but I'm not going to tell you how or when, that's really frustrating. We'll come back to that in a little bit. So after that, not knowing when or how it's going to happen, Solomon concludes the best thing we could do is just live it up. Enjoy life. Enjoy and just the life that we have, because no matter how difficult or challenging, I don't know how or when God's going to make this beautiful. So all I could do is just live life and do the best that I can. And then lastly, he states that pretty much this is God's show. God's in control. God's the one that's going to do it. God's the one that's going to make it happen. And we're surrendered to just do this because God's doing this in the end to cause us to worship him. And all we can do is revere and fear our God. So what does this all mean for us this day? What this means, like I shared earlier, is many of you are going through challenges in life and you're wondering why. And I want to focus in on this point for a little bit. Like I shared, there's many of you who are right now going through a season of life where you're at a job right now and you're wondering, why is this going on? Why is work so difficult? Why is it that everyone's leaving at this time, but I'm still busy working? Why is it that my relationship with my boss is so difficult? Why are these things happening to me? Maybe it's not work. For some of you that are students, you're wondering, why am I doing this degree? Or why am I having to take this class? When am I ever going to use this class ever in my life again? Why is it that no matter how hard I put effort into this class, the grades that I want are not coming out? Maybe you're putting your best effort in, and yet your parents are still not happy with the results that you're getting. Maybe it's not school or work. Maybe the thing that's frustrating you, let's be honest, most of you are old enough now. Maybe the reason why you're frustrated is because that guy or girl is not noticing you. And you're doing everything you can. You've gone to the gym for hours, or you like put every perfume on, and you're wondering, God, why? Why are they not noticing me? God, why is it that I'm worshiping you with all my heart and they don't see it? And you're wondering why. And honestly, as you get older, you're wondering, you're lonely, you're struggling with that. And you're wondering, God, why is everyone around me getting married? I struggle with that. Pastor Eric and Tina were freshmen when I was 1 or 2 years out of college. I was discipling them, I was investing in them. Why do they have a cute little baby and I'm still here single, preaching to you guys, running around with college students? What the heck, God, right? Why is that happening? Maybe it's not relational issues. Maybe it's some of you are going through challenges in your family. Maybe there's a family member that's sick. Maybe your parents are struggling in their marriage. Maybe they're not getting along and you're wondering what's going to happen. And you're wondering, God, why would you allow this? Why is this happening? Others of you, you are married. And you're so excited because you thought marriage would be the end-all, be-all. But once you got married, you realized, man, this is more challenging than I thought it would be. And you're wondering, man, did I do the right thing or did we rush into this? And you're thinking all these things. And some of you as well, you have kids and you're wondering, man, will this baby ever stop pooing in his diaper? Will this baby ever stop crying at night? And honestly, if you ask some of the parents, that's a real challenge. Because these are the things that cause and hinder us from living out the mission that God has given to us. And so you're wondering, God, why? Why would you allow these things? I shared about this during the service in Karawachi as well, and I'll share with you. I went through the same struggle. It was back in 1992 when I was much younger. Most of you, I don't know if you were born yet, but I was alive. And I was 13, and I didn't know this, but my parents had found out that my mom was diagnosed with a form of cancer, blood cancer, leukemia. And so she was diagnosed with cancer at that time. The parents, I don't know if this is true for people here, but in Indian culture, they didn't want the kids to know. Because they didn't want the kids to worry. They just wanted to focus in on school, do well in school. So they didn't tell us. They just hinted, your mom's not well. We didn't know what was going on. 2002, I graduated college. And it was Thursday. I was on the way to a prayer gathering. And my mom called. And my mom was saying she just went to the doctor. And the doctor pretty much had told her, your cancer had now entered into stage 4 cancer. Which for those of you who don't know, stage 4 cancer is the final stage of cancer. It's a pretty serious time. So I was like, what's going on, God? And so I remember I went to that prayer gathering, and I remember sitting there. For those of you from Ann Arbor, you remember Campus Chapel. I was in the back, and literally from 7 when the prayer gathering started to 9 o'clock, I was just weeping in the back because I couldn't imagine the fact that my mom might not ever be here anymore. And I was like, God, why is this happening? Why would you do this to us? Why is this happening to our family? Why are we going through this struggle? If we're honest with ourselves, and I don't know if it's culturally not appropriate to share some of those struggles, but just be honest with yourselves and before God. Every one of you probably has, either now or at some point, asked that question, why? And so what do we learn from King Solomon from this? Well, we have a verse here, like I shared, and I'm going to show it up here again. Verse 11, it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. And so that's exciting. That's encouraging. That's good to hear, because what we can take from that is that whatever we're going through, whatever struggle we're facing, we can trust that God is going to make everything beautiful in its time. So whatever you're facing right now, you can be confident of that in time, God's going to make it beautiful. But again, like I shared, the frustrating part is, let me read the Message translation for verse 11. It says here, and it'll be up here, you can read along. True, God made everything beautiful in its time. And I'm sorry, in itself and in its time. But he's left us in the dark. So we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. That's one of the most frustrating things to read. God, why would you do that? Why would you let me go through the season where work is difficult, where my relationship with my family is difficult, where school is difficult, where my parents' marriage is on the rocks? Why would you do all these things and not let me know why you're doing it? God, if you just give me a glimpse of how you're going to make this beautiful, then I would believe you, then I would trust you, then I would be so much more confident to follow you. God, why is it that you're not willing to show me what's going on? I'm sure many of us feel that way. Like today, if I came into you this message and I talked to each one of you guys personally and I told you whatever you're facing, how God's going to make it beautiful, I'm sure your worship, your response, your prayer, you would run out of here and share your faith with everyone out of here because you know that God's going to make it beautiful. But because you don't know, you're frustrated and you're wondering, God, how you're going to do this. This is a huge pet peeve that many people in the States have. And I'm going to assume that many of you have this, but how many of you, one of your biggest pet peeves is when someone spoils the end of a movie that you haven't seen yet? Can I raise your hands, please? Raise your hands. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to judge you. There's a few of you in this room. I hate when that happens. There's a movie that you can't wait to see, and you're looking. And right now, there's no movie that I want to see. All the movies in the theater stink right now. But in the future, when there's a movie coming up, and you can't wait to see it, and someone spoils how it ends, that's one of the most frustrating things that could happen. And so what ended up happening was we have a leaders meeting in March. And every Saturday we meet. And so I lead the campus ministry in Ann Arbor. And so we met up together in March. It was the first meeting right after our spring break. And so I wanted to meet with the campus leaders and I wanted to just challenge them and encourage them to finish the school year well. We still had spring break going on. I'm sorry, we still had Easter coming up and we had other things coming up that we wanted to finish the year well before the students went home for the summer break. And so we met with them. And so I remember it was around March 7th, we were meeting together. And then while we were meeting, I felt like the Holy Spirit was challenging me to share something with the leaders at that time. But the thing that the Holy Spirit was challenging me to share was actually something that happened in this movie that many of you are familiar with. It's a movie that recently came out right around the beginning of March. Many of you probably have seen it. It's a movie, Logan. For those of you not familiar, Logan is a movie. It's a continuation of the series, of the X-Men series. And so I happened to see that on Sunday. And then that Saturday at that leaders meeting, I felt like God was challenging me to share something from this. I really felt like this is what God wanted me to share. And so what ended up happening was, as we were sitting together with the leaders, I really felt this, that what God wanted me to share with the leaders was pretty much how the movie Logan ended. I don't know why, but as I was thinking about it, I was like, man, this is going to be awesome. I really felt like this is going to really challenge and really embolden our leaders to finish the semester well. And so I shared it. I shared what happened at the end of the movie. And then what ended up happening was this. The whole room started filling with moaning and groaning. And so I thought what ended up happening was that the Holy Spirit fell in that place. I was like, God, your presence is here. And this whole place is moaning and groaning in only ways that the Holy Spirit understands. But as I paid a little bit more closer attention, I realized that every leader in that room was really ticked off at me. They were all planning on seeing that movie. And they all wanted to see the end of it. And the reason why was all these X-Men movies, they've enjoyed it. They've enjoyed the plots. They've enjoyed it. And they're so very thankful because they wanted to see this other one. They were all looking forward to it. And then their pastor just ruined it. Do you know why they look forward to it? Because every X-Men movie that they've seen has ended up being good. And so the characters are someone that they look forward to seeing what happens. The storyline, the plot, they love seeing. They trust that the producer and the actors and the writers and everyone involved in the movie is going to put together a movie that's going to be great. That they can wait until they see the movie to see the ending. So they don't want anyone to spoil it. They don't want anyone to ruin it. And so they were all looking forward to it until I ruined it. Church, can I ask you a question? Whatever movie you plan on seeing, whatever movie you can't wait, why is it that you trust the writer or the producer or the director to put together a good ending for that movie, but you're not willing to wait for God in His time to make your life beautiful? Why is it that you need to know now, God? Why is it you want a spoiler now, God, of what's happening in your life? Why is it that God, who is the author and perfecter of your faith, the God that formed you and put you together in your mother's womb, why is it that you don't trust Him to reveal in His season, in His time, the story that He's writing in your life? What does that say about how much we trust God? But we trust the director of Logan or other movies more. And I think what God is challenging us with here this time is, are you willing to wait and trust God that He's writing a story in your life? That right now some of the challenges and difficulties, none of you know what's going on or how it's going to end. You don't need to know how it's going to end because you know that a God that loves you and cares for you and has been by your side since the moment you were born is writing that story. And however He ends up ending it is going to be for His glory and for your good. The reason why I can be confident of this is that story that I shared about my mom back in 2002 when we found out that she had stage 4 cancer. That same mom I talked to on the phone today at 9:30. That same mom who's gone to the doctor to find out that there is no longer any trace of cancer in her body. That's how God has written that story in my mom's life. Now let me be really honest. Many of you in this room, you've lost family members. Maybe you lost your mom or your dad to cancer or some other sickness. And please, I have no idea, and I apologize if in any way that story is hurting you, but I can't deny the fact that this is a story that God's written in my life. That doesn't mean that everything else is great in my life. There's struggles that I have with anxiety and depression and loneliness. But that story God made beautiful. And He made beautiful by healing my mom. Are you willing to trust that God can make whatever you're going through beautiful? Can you trust Him to write that story? That was the first why question that King Solomon had. We want to continue on as we close out in today's passage and talk about the next why question. And let me read for us verses 16 to 22 from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me take this drink. You can probably notice my voice is going. My voice is weak. I have a sensitive throat. The rest of me is not sensitive, but my throat is. So let me read verses 16 to 22. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. In the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart with regard to the children of men that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all from the dust, and to the dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes downward into the earth. So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Again, Solomon, what the heck are you talking about? The second point is called dogs and dust. Dogs and dust with the question mark. Let me explain what's happening. What Solomon pretty much is sharing about is that in this world, he's asking the next why question, God, why is there injustice in this world? Why is there injustice in places that we don't expect injustice to happen? When we expect justice to happen, why is there injustice? You've seen this. You've seen this in the news. When in places like Syria, their own government is poisoning their people with bombs and whatnot. You've seen this in throughout all what's going on. Right now, even this morning, I read a story about what happened in Yemen. Yemen, they're going through a civil war. Because of the civil war, there's a famine. And you see pictures of six-year-old girls that are bone thin because they don't have nothing to eat. And because of the famine, there's a breakout of cholera. And people are dying in that state, in that nation of Yemen. Why is that happening? God, that's not fair. Even a story that riveted me that happened back in the States. Many of you, I don't know if you're familiar, but in the States they have this thing called daycare, which pretty much when parents go to work, they take the kids to daycare. And so what happened was this daycare, and I believe it was in Michigan, but I'm not exactly sure now. They go around to the different either businesses or the homes of people and they pick up the kids. And so these drivers, they drive a van or a bus or whatever, and they went to different homes and they picked up the kids. And they got back to the daycare around 9 a.m. and then they watched the kids until 3 p.m. And they went back to the van or the bus to take the kids back home, and they found out that they left one of the kids in the car in over 90 degree weather for the whole day. The kid ended up dying. And they found the kid motionless in the car. Can you imagine if you're that parent? God, why does this happen? Why is injustice happening, God? Why do these kind of things happen where people hurt other people? And every day you can look at the news. I'm not sure exactly what's happening in Indonesia, but all over the world you see nations fighting each other. And so what he does afterwards is pretty much Solomon concludes that life is not fair. Life's not fair. And it's not just in these places that are happening all around the world. You see that many of you have gone through some kind of injustice. Someone that you could trust, someone that you could count on, let you down, hurt you, harmed you. Maybe even in the church, a leader, a pastor, someone that you thought you could count on, hurt you. And you've gone through that injustice. And so the next point that he talks about is divine retribution, or pretty much divine revenge. And there's a question mark there. Because Solomon states that God, again, in his time, will get vengeance for us, will get revenge for us. But then he asks a question, he's wondering, is it really revenge if we don't know it happened or are not alive to be there to see it happen? He's wondering that. Is it really revenge? Is it really vengeance if we are not aware of what happens? And so then he concludes that we as people are no different than dogs and dust. We're no different than the beasts of the world. The reason why Solomon concludes that, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but on Facebook, for whatever reason, I don't know why this is happening on my feed, but on my feed there's been all these videos of different animals fighting one another in the wilderness or forest. And so for whatever reason, I'm bored at work or I'm preparing a sermon and nothing's coming, and so I end up watching it. And so I remember watching all these animals just fighting each other. And so you'll see one where a bunch of lions attack an elephant, and then the elephant comes and rescues its elephant, and all these things are happening. That's pretty much what Solomon does, is he compares us to beasts. And the reason why is that beasts, all they do is just continue to get vengeance or revenge against one another. But the question he asks is, if an animal dies, did it really get vengeance if that other animal dies? And so he compares us to beasts. And the reason why Solomon compares us to beasts is because he's wondering, if you're not aware of, if you're not alive to receive that vengeance, did you really receive it? And so what Solomon's doing, which is kind of strange, is he's equating our value with beasts purely on the basis that we get vengeance in that situation. And so Solomon concludes, all we can do is just suck it up. Just suck it up and live life. We're not sure that we're going to get vengeance. We're not sure that injustice that was done to us is going to get repaid in its time. So all we can do is just suck it up and live our lives. To give you an illustration of how this happens, I want to show this picture to you guys as well. The kid on the left here, his name is Juice, and the kid on the right, his name is Tae-do. These are two young boys that we met when we went to Chicago. This past March, I led a missions trip to Chicago, the inner city there in Inglewood. And so these are two kids that we ended up meeting. And so I remember talking to the kid on the left, his name is Juice. And so we were playing pool, and Juice was there. And so these kids are 15 and 16 years old when we met them. They're much taller than me. They're actually very intimidating, even though they're only 15 and 16, more than, half my age. But they're all part of gangs in this Chicago area. And so there's this ministry there that is reaching out to these kids, and so they invite them to come, and they try to do Bible study with them. They try to share their faith with them. And so these are two of the kids that we got to meet this past March when we went. This past May, we heard that both of these kids were killed by gang violence. Both of them were shot. The kid on the right, Tae-do, was shot 6 times in the head while sitting on his porch. And they were telling us that this doesn't end. the next step is that the gang that lost someone then goes and finds the other gang members to kill, and it just keeps happening over and over again. And what Solomon has to say is kind of true. Are we really any different than beasts? If this is the way that we live, shooting kids that are 15, 16, think about what you were doing when you were 15 and 16 years old. Are we any different than beasts? Solomon has a great point. The reason why we're different than beasts is because our value is not found in the fact that we get retribution or vengeance or revenge when something bad happens to us. The reason why we're different than beasts is because our identity is found in the fact that we are created in the image of the God of the universe. And that is where we get our value. And that is what we put our faith and our hope in. That is our identity. That we're God's children. And because we're God's children, we can trust God to get vengeance for us in our life. Let me ask you to look up here and read Romans chapter 12, verses 19 to 21. It says here, "Beloved, never avenge yourself, never get retribution yourself, never get vengeance yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will keep burning souls on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." What Paul is saying in this scripture is this, that we can trust that Jesus, that God will give us vengeance, that God is the one that's going to get vengeance, so we don't have to worry about getting vengeance for ourselves, that we can be confident on that, and we just have to trust that God will get vengeance for whatever we're going through. Now, church, if I ended today's message right here, many of you would leave this place frustrated. Maybe you'd be happy because you want to go home and you want to eat dinner. But in the end, you'd be frustrated because over and over again, you've heard these messages. Trust God to make life beautiful. Trust God to get vengeance in the injustices that we face. How many of you heard that message over and over again? You're wondering, why should I trust God? Why should I put my faith in God? Why should I trust Him to take care of these areas in my life? And you're frustrated hearing that message. For those of you who are new and you're checking out this church and you're wondering, why should I trust God? Others of you, you're barely hanging on as a Christian. You're going through some of the most challenging times of your life and you're wondering why. Why should I trust God? The reason why you can trust God starts with what God was doing from the beginning. If you remember, back in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And what did He say? In chapter 1, verse 31a, it says here, "Then God looked over all He had made, and He saw that it was very good." In other words, God created the world, and He made it beautiful. When He created the world, He made it perfect and beautiful. And that was His intention. It wasn't to be a world that was marred with toil and difficulty. It wasn't to be a world that was marred with injustice. It was a world that was created to be beautiful. That was His intention. But you know what ended up happening in Genesis chapter 3. Men and women took matters into their own hands and they sinned against God. And once sin entered the world stopped being beautiful. Sin broke the beauty that God had created. And all of us, the struggles that we face, the toil that we're going through, the difficulties that we're facing, the challenges that we're facing with injustice, that's because of sin. Sin has brought that into the world. But what do we see God doing? From the end of Genesis chapter 3 until right now, June 25th, 2017, here, God's been trying to make this world beautiful again. He's been working to repair the sin and evil that we brought into the world and making it beautiful. And God took a huge step in making the world beautiful again by sending His only Son, Jesus, to be the payment to make everything beautiful. And we see what ended up happening to Jesus. It says here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" The same why question that each of us are asking, Jesus asked. God, why? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to go through this pain? Why am I facing this injustice? The Son of God, the sinless man, being punished for the sin that he did not commit. Jesus faced the ultimate injustice. And he asked the question, God, why? Why am I being separated from the Father? Why is this all happening to me? But the difference, church, is that instead of being frustrated and annoyed with God, what did Jesus do? Jesus trusted the Father. Jesus trusted the Father to make his death and his suffering beautiful. And we see that not only did Jesus rise again from the dead, Jesus is seated at the hand of the Father, and he continues to make things beautiful. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Spoiler alert, Jesus is making this world, your life, every struggle that you're going through, beautiful. That is what Jesus has been doing ever since he resurrected from the dead. And my question to you, the reason why you can put your faith in God, the reason why you can trust God to do this in your life is because God did it through his son Jesus. And that's why the story of Solomon is incomplete. Because Solomon did not know how God was going to make all things beautiful. But we here, church, know that God is making all things beautiful through the blood that his son shed on the cross. And that is why the one thing for today is we trust God because he will make everything beautiful through Jesus Christ. We trust God because he will make everything beautiful through Jesus Christ. And that's why you can leave this place in confidence. Church, I don't know what you're going through. As I was sharing, I could tell by your reactions that some of you have parents that are either sick or maybe their marriages are not good or healthy. Some of you have relationships with family members that are not good. Some of you are struggling in your school or your workplace. You can leave this place confident and trusting God because God has made all things beautiful through his son. And you can live your life worshiping and being devoted to him. Let me give you three ways you can apply today's word, and then we'll close out with some prayer and worship. First is, can you worship God because his promise is fulfilled in Jesus? The reason why we spend time worshiping God is not because we're trying to figure out how to make the service longer or trying to figure out how to fill in time. The reason why we worship God is because God is worthy of worship. God sent his best, his only son. And can I challenge you, church? I don't know what culture you grew up in, but when we worship God here in this place, when we worship God in that new place starting next Sunday, can you commit to celebrating and giving God all of your worship? Because God gave his best, his son, to make all things beautiful. And that's why we worship him. That's why we sing the songs. That's why we lift up our hands, because we want to worship and give God all of our focus. Church, can I challenge you to worship God with all your heart? Second, can you trust God to make your whys beautiful? I don't know what your whys are. I don't know what the question is that you're struggling with right now. I don't know what you're struggling with in your heart this afternoon as you're going through this message. I'm sure, as I've shared, there's some things that you're reflecting on. Can I challenge you to pray and ask God, God, help my unbelief. Help me to trust that you will make these wise, whether it's the toil, the challenges, or the injustice that you face. Can you trust him to make it beautiful? And lastly, church, can I encourage you? Because we can be confident that God is going to make the injustices we face, the toil that we're facing, beautiful. Can I challenge you? Because you know that, and you're confident of that. Can I encourage you as you leave this place to be faithful to make disciples who are making disciples? The reason why I share this message is that many Christians, the reason why we're not faithful to the mission that God's given us is because we're consumed by all these things that are happening, all these why questions. But if you can be confident that God will answer it and make all things beautiful, then you can be faithful to surrender those things to God and embrace the mission that he's given to each one of us to make disciples who are making disciples who make disciples. Church, can I invite you to stand? I want to lead us in prayer before Pastor Eric leads us in a time of response. Let's stand up as we close out together.